I promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
The time is 6 o'clock from Radio Ghana in Accra. Here's Mercy Sowah with the news. In the headlines, Ghana National Fire Service to set up bushfire management committees in deprived areas. Global community marks World Refugee Day today, which coincides with 60th anniversary of Refugees Convention. NATO apologizes for loss of civilian lives in an airstrike on Libya yesterday. Eurozone finance ministers postponed decision to grant £10 billion loan to Greece. And trial of ousted Tunisian President Zine Abidine Ben Ali to begin today. First, a summary by Agatha Samoa.
The Central Regional Office of the Ghana National Fire Service will soon put in place a regional bush management committee and establish a fire volunteer training program in all deprived areas of the region. The regional commander of the service, Assistant Chief Fire Officer Christian Kuna Mukwese, said plans are underway to organize a fire holiday camp for school children to inculcate fire safety measures in them. The global community is marking World Refugees Day today, which coincides with the 60th anniversary of Refugees Convention. There are about 15 million of such people in the world who have left their homes due to hostilities and maltreatment, and this number will still increase due to more and more of these complex issues. NATO has apologized for the loss of civilian lives in an airstrike on Libya yesterday. The commander of the operation said the target was a missile site, but appears that one weapon did not hit the intended target. And the trial of the ousted Tunisian President Ben Ali begins today. He will be trialed in absentia. Charges against Mr. Ben Ali include money, weapons, and drugs allegedly left behind his palace, as well as murder and human rights abuses. When found guilty, Mr. Ben Ali will be convicted in 20 years in prison.
Radio Ghana News, the authoritative, informative and trusted source of up-to-date news. We report the facts and not fiction. The truth and not hearsay. We demonstrate professionalism and not sensationalism. Radio Ghana, the only station that networks the whole nation. You can also listen to us live on the internet at bbcghana.com. Radio Ghana, we are the best and equal to none.
The central region recorded a drop in fire outbreaks within the first quarter of this year, witnessing 95 incidents as against 152 recorded during the same period last year. The regional commander of the Ghana National Fire Service, Assistant Chief Fire Officer Kwesi Kwesen, said this in an interview with the GNA. He attributed the reduction to the vigorous public education carried out by his office together with other partners. On bush and industrial fire outbreaks, he said the service recorded a significant drop from 95 cases in 2010 to 47 this year, while there was no report of industrial fires as against the 6 recorded last year. Assistant Chief Fire Officer Kwesen noted that domestic fires had also reduced, yet the few cases reported were intense. Mr. Kwesen said to further check bushfires, his office will launch a regional bushfire management committee next month and also establish a fire volunteer training program in all deprived areas of the region. He said plans are underway to organize a fire holiday camp for school children to inculcate fire safety measures in them and sensitize them to fire hazards. ACFO Kwesen advised property owners to provide fire safety measures on their premises, while the public should also be safety conscious and take measures to protect themselves against preventable accidents. Commercial sex workers are being transformed into evangelists as Positive Minded Foundation, a care and support group for people living with HIV and AIDS, is reaching out to girls in the business. The president of the foundation says the converted sex workers are given skills training to enable them to gain employment and become responsible citizens. He was particularly happy about the fact that the ladies are helping with the work of evangelism. He spoke to Sally Bosman.
We get them converted. That is why if you join Positive Minded, you will see a lot of them that have been in that act before, but now they have repented and they are now actively doing a different thing. Some are hairdressers now, some are seamstress, some are doing their own trading, buy and sell business. So a lot of them have changed and they are part of Positive Minded.
And how are they helping girls who are in that business now?
We use them when we are going to outreach programs and they go with us. So they use themselves as an example. But since it's a behavior change, doesn't take one day.
Okay.
So as time goes on, we believe that others will also change and see the good things happening to their sisters. They also come and join their sisters and rather leave the profession.
President of Positive Minded Foundation talking to Sally Bosman. That interview was by courtesy of the Abidjan Lagos Corridor Organization with support from WANAD. Ben Saba, World Women's Organizer of the National Democratic Congress, SERAMA, has expressed worry over the internal wranglings which have bedeviled the party's presidential primaries. She said it's not politically healthy for supporters of Professor Mills and Nana Kunedwajiman Rawlings to be insulting each other. Mrs. Ama expressed the sentiments when the DCE for Aguna East, Martin Luther Bing, and his entourage visited Aguna Krang as part of his familiarization tour of the district. Mrs. Ama said the situation, if not checked, could affect the party in the next elections. She therefore exhorted the former First Lady to rescind her decision to contest the presidential primaries. The DCE asked supporters on both sides to come together after the primaries and work hard for the party to win the 2012 elections. The Deputy Minister of Local Government and Rural Development, Elvis Efriye-Ankra, has called on traditional leaders to mobilize both human and material resources to improve upon the livelihood of their subjects. Ms. Ankra made the call at a Deborah of the Chiefs and People of the Habe Traditional Area in the Hohoi Municipality to climax the 78th annual Agadevi Festival. Correspondent Conrad Kadri was there and has filed this report.
The aim of this year's Agadevi Festival was to showcase tourism potentials in the Habe traditional area. The occasion was also used to cut the sod for the construction of a community library complex. The Deputy Minister of Local Government and Rural Development, Elvis Efriye-Ankra, commended the chiefs and people of Habe for their commitment to developing the area through education and urged them to remain focused. He also advised the youth to eschew all forms of indiscipline and immorality in order to maximize the investments made in their education. The Volta Regional Minister, Joseph Amenowode, urged leaders to be transparent and accountable at all times. Mr. Amenowode, who is also the MP for Hohoi South, presented 200 bags of cement towards the construction of the community library complex. The paramount chief of Habe traditional area, Togbe Asemtra, thanked the government for its support towards the commencement of work on the community library. He appealed to investors to come to the area to help develop the numerous natural resources. Togbe Asemtra called on the youth to unite and promote the needed peace towards the development of the community.
Conrad Kadri's report. The presiding bishop of the Methodist Church Ghana, Most Reverend Professor Emmanuel Asante, says people get into the ministry for various reasons rather than the call of God. As he said, explains why there are many charlatans in the ministry. Most Reverend Asante noted that any ordained minister who cannot prove his spiritual birth is a threat to society. He said this in Accra when he commissioned 48 newly trained ministers of the church. Here's a report by Judith Du and Victoria Ahaji.
The 48 newly commissioned ministers have undergone training for 3 years at the Trinity Theological Seminary at Legon to prepare them for the task ahead. They will be on probation for another 3 years before they are ordained as Reverend Ministers. Most Reverend Asante, who preach on the theme, Ministerial Purity, said, ministers of God should lead exemplary lives, facilitate purity and integrity, and be faithful to God. He added that the spiritual life of the church can be contaminated if there is no purity. He noted that in this time of spiritual decadence, ministers must avoid double standards and live selfless lives to reflect the life of Christ rather than seeking fame and titles. He advised the newly commissioned ministers to be selfless, humble and eschew greed and the love of money.
The fact is, an ordained minister who is unable to prove one's spiritual faith by word and deed is a danger not only to the Christian community but also to the society as a whole. The spiritual life of the church can be hindered when there is no purity in the ministry. People can walk to Makola and buy these carpets that you are wearing. Titles are not for sale. You can grab any title you like. People who are calling themselves reverend doctors, here, left and right, and they have never stepped into the university. Be faithful to the word of God and maintain your ministerial integrity. Hold your leadership in check.
Emmanuel Akamensa, who is the chairman of the newly commissioned ministers, expressed gratitude for seeing them through their training. He admonished other ministers of God to be conscious of sin and always bear in mind that they will be accountable to God for their actions.
I would say that I'm happy for today, and much particularly with all my friends that we went through the training with. We really thank God for our lives and the opportunity given us also to serve. We all need to have the sensibility of sin, that we always be drawn far from sin and be conscious of the fact that we have an account to give.
He advised his colleagues to work hand in hand to enhance the spiritual growth of the church.
Judith Doe and Victoria Haji filed that report. This is Radio Ghana's News at 6, the major stories. Ghana National Fire Service to set up bushfire management committees in deprived areas. Global Community marks World Refugee Day today, which coincides with 60th anniversary of Refugees Convention. NATO apologizes for loss of civilian lives in an airstrike on Libya yesterday. Eurozone finance ministers postponed decision to grant £10 billion loan to Greece, and trial of ousted Tunisian President Zine Al Abidine Ben Ali to begin today. Do stay with us.
Radio Ghana News, the authoritative, informative and trusted source of up-to-date news. We report the facts and not fiction. The truth and not hearsay. We demonstrate professionalism and not sensationalism. Radio Ghana, the only station that networks the whole nation. You can also listen to us live on the internet at tvcghana.com. Radio Ghana, we are the best and equal to none.
Welcome back. NATO has admitted a weapons systems failure may have led to civilian casualties in yesterday's airstrike in the Libyan capital. Tripoli has regretted the loss of innocent civilian lives. The commander of operation, Lieutenant General Charles Bouchard, said the intended target was a missile site, but it appears that one weapon did not hit it. The Libyan government earlier said NATO had bombed a residential area, killing 9 civilians, including 2 babies. Meanwhile, senior officials from the Rebel Transitional National Council issued an urgent plea for foreign financial aid. They said despite having won promises of assistance from the Western and Arab supporters, they are yet to receive any money. They believe they need more than $3 billion to cover salaries and other needs in the next 6 months. Satellite images show the North Sudanese military massing in the southern Kordofan border state. Rebels in Darfur accused Khartoum of attacking them with military vehicles and warplanes. Southern Kordofan, on the ill-defined border with the south, is among several flashpoints as Sudan South prepares to secede on July 9th, A move analysts say could embolden rebels in other parts of the country. The North's army is also battling armed groups in the western region of Darfur. The Northern military spokesman, Al-Sawami Khalid, said the army is not planning any escalation in southern Hordofan, but will fight to end an armed rebellion. Somali Prime Minister Mohamed Abdullahi Mohamed has resigned following an agreement ending the country's transitional administration. Mr. Abdullahi Mohamed told journalists in Mogadishu yesterday that his decision to resign is to compromise for the national interest and in compliance with the Kampala Accord. Somali President Sharif Sheikh Ahmed and Parliament Leader Sharif Hassan Sheikh Aden signed a deal in the Kampala this month, extending their terms for a year, pushing back polls due in August. Elections for President and Speaker of Parliament will have to take place before August 2012. Somalia's transitional government, which was set up in 2004 in Kenya, has been weakened by infighting between its leaders. The Prime Minister, who was not one of the signatories, rejected the deal on Tuesday. The President had previously called for the extension, saying Somalia is too unstable for elections as the country battles Al-Qaeda-inspired Islamist militants. There have been growing calls in Egypt for a delay in September's parliamentary elections to give parties formed in the aftermath of Hosni Mubarak's ouster more time to organize. The move, which has the backing of the country's prime minister, is aimed at keeping the Muslim Brotherhood from dominating the next legislature and exerting Islamist influence over the drafting of a new constitution. The debate over the timing of the elections and the new constitution is seen as just one of a host of challenges the country is grappling with in the chaotic transition period. There are also disagreements over the extent to which police powers should be curtailed and how best to halt the economic deterioration in the country is currently experiencing, considering the authoritarian system that was in place until just a few months ago. These developments are signs that post-Mubarak Egyptians have cast off decades of political apathy and have a new faith in the political process, though some commentators believe there could be a trigger for renewed unrest in Egypt if the questions are not resolved satisfactorily to meet the aspirations of all stakeholders. Meanwhile, a joint statement by seven rights groups has accused the military of abandoning transparency, adding that its current timetable for a transfer of power threatens to lead the country into a longer period of instability. About 10,000 protesters have rallied in Casablanca against King Mohammed's proposed constitutional changes, which they say is not convincing enough. The February 20 reform movement also rallied in other Moroccan cities. However, in the capital Rabat, several hundreds of peoples marched in support of the reforms. Last Friday, the king proposed slightly loosening his current absolute power, but he said he'd keep total control of Morocco's security and foreign policy, as well as matters of religion. King Mohammed's proposals will be put to a referendum on the 1st of next month, but critics say this leaves little time for a real debate. The critics therefore want constitutional changes drawn up by a democratically elected committee instead. Activists say Morocco's 400-year-old dynasty has a long history of enacting superficial reforms. The country has also been facing severe economic challenges with high unemployment and rising levels of poverty. Eurozone finance ministers have postponed a final decision on a £10 billion loan to Greece until it introduces further austerity measures. The minister said they are expected to pay the latest tranche of a 110 billion euro, an EU IMF aid package, by the middle of next month, but that will depend on the Greek parliament passing 28 billion euros of new spending cuts and economic reforms. The ministers are also committed to putting together a second bailout to keep the country afloat over the coming years. Athens has said it needs funds by next month to avoid defaulting on its debt. Earlier, thousands of people gathered outside the parliament building in Athens to oppose any further cuts. Prime Minister Georges Papandreou urged MPs to accept his proposal of tax increases, spending cuts and privatization expected to raise 50 billion euros by 2015. He said the consequences of a violent bankruptcy or exit from the euro would be immediately catastrophic for households, the banks, and the country's credibility. Meanwhile, MPs will vote tomorrow on a confidence motion in Mr. Papandreou's cabinet, which he reshuffled last week amid mounting unrest. The trial in absentia of ousted Tunisian President Zine El Abidine Ben Ali is due to begin today. Charges against him include money, weapons, and drugs allegedly left behind in his palaces, almost 2 kilograms of drugs believed to be cannabis, and $27 million in cash were allegedly discovered. When found guilty, Mr. Ben Ali will be convicted for 20 years in prison. He has denied all charges against him. Mr. Ben Ali fled to Saudi Arabia following a popular uprising in January. His lawyer said the trial is an attempt by Tunisia's interim government to divert attention from their failure to restore stability in the country. Speaking through his Beirut-based lawyer yesterday, Mr. Ben Ali mounted a defense of his 23 years as president, with many Tunisians say was marked by autocratic rule, corruption, and human rights abuses. Meanwhile, Saudi authorities are yet to respond to an extradition request from Tunisia for Mr. Ben Ali and his wife, which does not seem likely for them to be brought to justice in person. We shall be back with more news after the break. Welcome back. Wars, harassments, and hostilities in some countries have led to many people fleeing to seek refuge in other countries. There are about 50 million of such people in the world who have left their homes due to these hostilities and maltreatment, and this number will still increase due to more and more of these complex issues. As the world marks World Refugee Day today, which coincides with the 60th anniversary of the Refugee Convention, the bravery of men and women and children who are fleeing the only place they know and call home cannot be glossed over. We bring you a write-up on the day.
The day was chosen by the UN High Commissioner for Refugees to draw the world's attention to the problem of about 50 million refugees around the world. The celebration underlines a shared humanitarian belief that there are no tolerable levels of suffering, recognizing that even one person forced to flee war or persecution is not encouraging. About 80% of the world's refugees are hosted in developing countries, as less of them are reaching in Europe and the industrialized countries. Sadly, Africa is said to be hosting the largest refugees in the world. The UN High Commissioner for Refugees, Antonio Guterres, in a statement said, fears about supposed floods of refugees in industrialized countries are being vastly overblown or mistakenly conflated with issues of migration. The day which is themed Well People, Well Needs, the world is expected to ensure that those fleeing danger, no matter which part of the world they find themselves, can still find safe refuge. In a statement to mark World Refugees Day, the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon reiterated that refugees are at risk of their lives, and in most cases, all they want is to return home to start afresh. He said major causes of displacement is war, prolonged conflict or instability in places such as Somalia, Iraq and Afghanistan, and the crisis in North Africa and Middle East are contributory factors to the current upsurge of refugees in the world. Mr. Ban therefore appeals to people everywhere to spare a thought for the millions of children, women and men who have been forced from their homes and in most cases want nothing more than to return home.
A write-up on World Refugee Day. Ghana currently has about 30,000 refugees. These are mainly from Cote d'Ivoire, numbering 16,000, and from Liberia with 11,000. The chairman of the Ghana Refugees Board, Kenneth Girasa, said the increasing number of refugees is putting pressure on the country's resources. He said one major problem they are facing to repatriate the refugees back to their countries of origin. He said to solve the problem, a tripartite meeting will be held by the end of the year to come out with modalities on the repatriation process. He spoke to Doreen Ampofu.
We have on our soil presently about 30,000 refugees. 16,000 come from Ivory Coast, 11,000 Liberians are still here, and balance of 3,000 is shared by the Togolese, the Sudanese, people from DRC, Somalia, and what have you. By virtue of their influx, they tend to bring pressure to bear on local resources. To have at one time about 16,000 people within a short period of about 5 months coming to literally encroach on the few facilities that you offer your citizens, it's a real problem. Now, apart from that, their presence has been introducing a number of social problems, rape, armed robbery, and a number of things that ordinarily we do not play host to. To overcome these challenges, a number of institutions have come together to engage the refugees in skills training. Our biggest problem, as I see it now, particularly for the Liberian refugees, is their reluctance to get repatriated to their country of origin.
How are you ensuring that they accept that their countries are okay now and that they can return?
We have a tripartite meeting coming up as a follow-up of similar things which happened in Liberia, where the equivalent of the Ghana Refugee Board in Liberia, representing the Liberian government, and then the UNHCR and the government of Ghana, are going to sit down to work out modalities for repatriation and, where possible, local integration.
When is this meeting coming on?
Before the end of the year. As a matter of fact, we are expecting the Liberian delegation for further discussions by Wednesday.
Chairman of the Ghana Refugees Board, Kenneth Jurasa, talking to Doreen Ampofu. And now, Ibrahim Kwatin brings you editorials of today's speakers.
The Daily Graphic devotes its editorial to the $100 million loan secured by government for the completion of some major roads in the country. Considering the sensitive and strategic nature of these roads, the Graphic cannot belaud government for such a wonderful and timely intervention. The Chimota of Anko and Tetokwashi interchange at Dentan Roads in Accra, and then Saum Bypass and the Sofoline interchange in Kumasi, that are considered monumental national projects, have for some time received a snail's pace in construction because of lack of funds. The paper hopes that other road projects that are likely to benefit from the facility will be executed with dispatch. The Ghanaian Times salutes all fathers whose loyalty and commitment to the upbringing of their wards remain unquestionable. To the Times, such fathers do not only play pivotal roles in ensuring a united family, but contribute immensely in positively shaping the destinies of their children. At the World Celebrated Father's Day yesterday, the Times urges fathers who have made a rejection of their wards their stalking trait to take a cue from the show of love, unity and affection the day brings to exhibit more responsibility towards their wards. The Times urges mothers to also appreciate the support and commitment of fathers and give them the needed recognition. Those were editorials of the papers presented by Ibrahim Kwatin.
To end the news, the main points again. The Central Regional Office of the Ghana National Fire Service will soon put in place a regional bush management committee and establish a fire volunteer training program in deprived areas of the region. And NATO has apologized for the loss of civilian lives in an airstrike on Libya yesterday. The news was presented by Mercy Sowah in Accra.